Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles after such a song as that. And turn with me to the Old Testament book of Micah. The Old Testament book of Micah. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What do you do whenever you sin, you blow it, and you've botched it in your lives? In other words, you know, you're sort of wondering, you've sinned and you've really, really done it. And you know that you have botched it big time. What do you do when you sin? Do you feel like God doesn't care for you anymore? Do you feel like God's just going to zap you from heaven? And after all, He's the God of the universe and He doesn't want us to sin. We know that. But when you sin, what goes through your mind? You know, the sad reality about it is there are so many people who live believing that God doesn't want anything else to do with their life if they have done something horrendous in life. You may be one of those this morning. You have done something horrible and only God in heaven knows about it, and you pray nobody else in the world finds out about it. And you're wondering if God still loves you. You're wondering if God can use your life. You're wondering about this God who we preach about and we sing about. How does He really respond to us when we sin? How does He respond? How does He react to us when we have botched it, we've sinned, we've committed some act or acts of wickedness? How does He treat us? Well, the title of the message this morning is What to Remember When We Sin. And if you'll turn to the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 7, and keep your finger there for just a moment in Micah chapter 7. And let's read it very carefully and see what our Heavenly Father is like when we sin. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. I want you to listen to that one more time. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? Listen to this next part. He retains not His anger forever because He delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob, the mercy to Abraham, which Thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. You know, there is not a one of us that lives this life but what we're going to commit some acts of sin along the journey. You know, no matter who you are, no matter how long you have been saved, no matter what has happened in your life, every one of us are fallen individuals. Irregardless of what you and I may want to think of ourselves, the Bible makes it very clear that every single one of us are fallen. You know, when you think about the Old Testament and you go back all the way to the book of Genesis, one of the things that you have to face about your life is you're a fallen creation. As a matter of fact, Scripture makes it very clear. Adam and Eve, whenever they sinned, they brought sin into the entire human race, and you have a propensity towards sin. That is, you know, you don't automatically think about obeying God first. That is not your first line of thought. Most of the time, it's how can we do something or we get away with something, and because we were born into sin. So I want you to follow along very carefully because these are some things that you need to remember when you sin. And maybe some of these you didn't even expect to hear. When you looked at the outline this morning or you looked at the title in the bulletin, you said, I know God's going to jump on me and God's going to let me have it and God's going to do this or that to me. I pray you listen carefully and let the Spirit of God speak to your spirit so you can understand how the Father wants to treat you when you sin. Well, first and foremost, you and I need to understand we are a fallen creation. Irregardless of what you and I may want to think about ourselves, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve sinned and they brought sin into the entire human race. You know, the world around us, you don't have to go very far, but you see a lot of sinning going on. I mean, you don't have to go to private places. You just see people saying things they ought not say, doing things they ought not do, people acting ways they ought not act. And sometimes maybe you find yourself doing that in your own life. All of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of a situation, maybe in the midst of an argument, and you've said something that is displeasing before God, and you've said something out of the way to your spouse, something out of the way to your children, something out of the way to a brother or sister in Christ. You know, the fact is, you are a fallen creation. I am a fallen creation. If we were not fallen, we would not need a Savior, amen? If we were not fallen, if we did not have that propensity toward sin, you wouldn't need a Redeemer. You wouldn't need Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross for your sin. I wouldn't need him to die for my sin if he did not know that I and you, we're sinners. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. Paul, whenever he was talking to the saints at Rome, he made it clear that sin entered in by one man. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Irregardless of what you may want to think of yourself, you are a sinner by nature. It is the nature of mankind to sin. You know, sometimes you'll hear somebody saying, well, you know, I was seeking for God. The Bible says nobody seeks after God. We are altogether gone astray. We're wicked to the core. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but the truth is the truth of the Word of God. And when we look at our lives and you think about your life and you wonder, why do you do some of the things you do and why do you have a propensity toward this and toward that? Maybe this past week you found yourself doing or getting involved in something you know you should not have gotten involved in. You know what it is because you live with your own conscience. And sometimes you try your best and you think, God, by your help, I'm not ever going to do that again. And all of a sudden, you're like Paul. He said, I find a warfare going on. When I would do good, evil is present. In other words, when you want to walk with God, when you want to behave godly, when you want to live a godly life, even if you're a child of God, you're going to find yourself from time to time committing acts of sin. Now, does God throw you away? Absolutely not. It is so sad that many people have the idea that, well, I have sinned, and therefore God must not want to have anything to do with me. After all, you know, how can God love me? I've done this or I've done that. And you name the sin before God. That's not the way God operates when it comes to our sin. Now, think about this a minute. God sees absolutely every person of the universe this morning. He is all-knowing God. He knows every person and what they're doing. Can you imagine if God zapped you after 100 sins? Well, if God zapped us after 100 sins, this place would be vacant this morning. Listen, there wouldn't be a one of us that would be here. But when you and I sin and we botch it and we commit acts of wickedness, God is not through with your life. One of the hard realities that we have to accept about ourselves is, you know, God, I don't understand why you're so kind and graceful to me, but that's who our God is. That's who the God of Scripture is. The Bible says in Micah, he doesn't treat me as our sins deserve. As a matter of fact, you know, there are so many things we want to think about ourselves, but, you know, the psalmist made it very clear, and all throughout the Scripture, the Bible says nobody does good. Psalms 14:1, there is none that doth good. Psalms 14:3, they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doth good, no, not one. Romans 3:23, they're all gone out of the way. There are none together, all together become unprofitable. There is none that doth good, no, not one. You and I need to face the fact about our life. You're saved by the grace of God, but we still have some of those propensities towards sin. That doesn't say that God condones it, but here's what we do need to understand, that there is a propitiation. There is someone that takes our place in our sin debt, and he's taken care of all of our sin. That's not to say that God gives us a right to sin or he endorses one act of sin, God forbid. But here's what you need to understand and you need to hear. God is not through with you if you've sinned. Only God knows the countless young men and the young women who they have done something in their life and with their life and possibly with their bodies. And all of a sudden they may have shared it, and all of a sudden they think, well, nobody really cares about me and nobody really loves me. And they get this idea that God doesn't care about them. You can look through all throughout the pages of Scripture, and God reminds you and me over and over and over again that He loves to forgive. He loves to pardon. Now, that's not to give you an out to commit any act of sin, because you always live with the consequences. But I want you to follow along. When we sin, God is never out to destroy us. You know, the Bible says that when we were committing acts of sin and acts of ungodliness, Christ died on the cross. Now, listen to me very carefully, and I want you to listen. Use your God-given mind. Do you believe and do you think that Jesus Christ knew absolutely every sin that you would commit before you was ever born? Amen? If He doesn't, He's not all-knowing. If He knows every sin you will commit till the day you leave this world, what can you do to catch God off guard? What sin can you commit but what God does not already know about what you're going to do? Not a single one. He knows absolutely everything about the totality of our lives. Now, why is that so wonderful? You don't ever do anything and catch God off guard. You know, sometimes somebody says, oh, God, I know that you can't love me because of... Listen, He knew it before you was born. He knew you was going to do it before you breathed a breath. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, He didn't die on the cross for your sins that you just commit today or tomorrow. He died for the totality of your sin. You need to get that in your mind. Here's why. Until you allow God to let your heart enjoy that truth, what happens is sometimes we'll unconsciously or we'll do something we know we shouldn't have done, we'll confess it, and we'll beat ourselves up. Why? Because that's one of the devil's way to devastate your life. He'll whisper, surely God can't use you after that. Surely you're no more use to God after what you've just done. If you'll stop and think about who God allowed to pen Scripture, you'll be amazed at who God used. God used Moses, he committed murder. God used David. David not only was an accessory to murder, but he had a sexual affair with Bathsheba. Paul was an assassin. And you think all these individuals, why? So God could show His wonderful demonstration of grace. Now, listen. Look back in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Look at verse 18 of what we just read. Who is a God likened to thee? Listen to it real carefully. Micah is saying to the Lord God Almighty, who is a God likened to thee? He says, you pardon iniquity and pass by the transgression of the remnant of your heritage. I love the last part. He doesn't stay angry forever because He delights to show you mercy. He delights to show me mercy. What in the world is mercy? Well, let me just give you a real simple definition. Mercy is God loving to give you what you don't deserve and not giving you what you do deserve. Do you realize God loves not giving you what you deserve? When you invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, He loved the idea of taking your name and removing your life out of an imprisonment of torment and placing your life into heaven. Why? Because that's who God is. God loves to show grace and kindness. When you botch it, when you sin, when you commit acts of wickedness, God is not out to destroy your life. Now, that conviction you feel in your heart, that conviction you feel in your spirit, that is God-given and God-breathed, and the simplest thing you could do is get on your knees and confess before a holy God. But He's never out to destroy you. Sometimes some people just decide, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore because surely God won't forgive me of that sin. Tell me what sin that Jesus Christ did not die for on the cross. There's not a single conceivable, thinkable sin but what Jesus Christ died for it on the cross. If it's not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're helpless and I'm helpless. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all sin. Listen, when you commit an act of sin, the wisest thing you can do, and one of the things the devil loves to do, he loves to beat me up. It happens about every time if I say something and I know it's not been proper before God, one of the things the devil does, he said, I can't believe it. I said, I'm not going to go there, Father. I confess my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Satan, get behind me. I renounce it right now. And Father, thank you for cleansing me. I choose to walk in freedom. Listen very carefully. If the devil can do it in your life, he will rob you of freedom. And so many believers never live enjoying the freedom of God in Jesus Christ. They live in misery. How would Jesus say he came that you could have a life and that you could have life abundantly and then want you to live in misery? But sadly, so many believers are living just that type of life. They're not living in joy, tranquility, happiness, because they've not allowed themselves to enjoy the forgiveness of God. Do you allow yourself to enjoy the forgiveness of God? You see, God's not out to destroy you. God makes it very clear in his word. He don't like to treat you the way your sins deserve. Listen, the one single sin before a holy God deserves eternal punishment. I'm so glad that when I leave this life and walk out of this body, I'm so glad that God's not going to give me what my sins deserve. He's going to give me what his grace can give me. And that's abundant eternal life with him. When you sin, now listen, this is not giving you an out to commit any act of sin, God forbid. But when you commit that sin next time, don't you dare allow the devil to deceive you and thinking God cannot use your life. There are countless individuals out there who think, my life is over. You know where they get that belief from? They maybe get it from a mom and a dad who feel like their life is over. Or they may even get it from some religious people who just really snarl their nose at them. But the God of Scripture loves to forgive. Think about this a minute. Where would you be if God didn't forgive you? You know, you committed acts of sin. Would you like to guess how many sins you've committed? No. I wouldn't want to dare guess how many sins I've committed. You say, is that magnifying sin? No, not at all. But it's magnifying the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you're washed, allow yourself the enjoyment of living a free life. So many individuals will not let themselves live free. So many individuals will live a life of misery because something that's happened in their life. Well, not only that, but when we sin, God loves to show his wonderful grace and his mercy. Now, don't dare think that God does not convict. Listen, the Bible says it's the role of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, judgment, and righteousness. If you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ, probably you're feeling right now that conviction of God through his Holy Spirit, letting you know you need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, in the life of David, David realized that he had sinned. And one of the realities when you sin is this: God will not allow you to enjoy life until you confess. One of the realities why so many believers are living a stress-filled life is simply this. They've committed some sin that they will not confess to God before. They've done something or maybe some things, and they're just trying to get by in life. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. God will never let you enjoy life if you're a child of God if you do not confess sin. Why? Because in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And the reverse of that is simply this. If we don't confess of our sins, then the finger of pressure from a holy God is going to be on you. You ever remember one of those times that you sinned, you did something, or you allowed yourself to be in a situation and you did something that you knew was displeasing to God? You remember how guilty you felt? You felt that inner guilt, and that was the conviction of God by the Holy Spirit, letting you know that that was not pleasing. You couldn't enjoy yourself. You couldn't enjoy your friends, your family. You couldn't enjoy watching a television show until you got on your face before God. Listen, the Bible says he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but he convicts. Why does God convict of sin? Listen, he loves you. You know, he knows that sin is death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, I was just thinking the other day, I was out mowing my yard, and where I mow, there's a couple of snaky spots. And I was backing up, and I thought, what would I do if I saw a snake? You know, you think about that when you're, you know, mowing close to the woods. And I'd be out of there for one thing, but I thought, if I got snake bit, would I be real soft and say, you know what, I got snake bit. Then get back on the lawnmower. No. you would remedy it, you'd do whatever necessary so that you could be healthy and whole and heal and healed again. Now listen, when you confess, when you sin, one of the things that God wants you to do and commands you to do is to own up to the sin. Listen, David made it very clear that he had to own up to sin in his life. Turn to Psalms 51 for just a moment. In Psalms 51, David had sinned against God. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had had sexual relationships with her, and he had violated his body, violated her body, but his sin was against a holy God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Listen. In that one passage of Scripture, David had sinned against God. He had sinned against himself. He had sinned against... But one of the things that David found was this. David knew that God wanted to show him mercy. Now, David was living in misery until he came clean. You will too. If you have sin in your life, I want to just tell you this very simply. You will continually, ongoingly live in misery until you confess your sin. If you never confess your sin, you'll live in misery till the day you breathe your last breath on this earth. That's the word of the living God. Why? Because there must be confession. And you see, the thing about it is you know, we sin, so what's the big deal? Why do I have to confess? It's sort of like that poison on the inside of you if you get snake bit. It don't get out by accident. You're not clean before God by accident. Time does not erase your sin. Time does not remove those things that we've done. It's when you own up to them and you come clean. David knew what he had done. He knew what he had done and how he had sinned against God. And one of the things David realized is that God was willing to forgive him. Now listen very carefully. It does not matter what you've done. But here's what does matter. It matters if you're open and candid and clear before a holy God about it. You say, what do you mean by that? What you've done needs to be confessed before the Father. Look at number four. When we sin, God loves to show us mercy, but here's what has to happen. God expects us to come clean about our sin. Listen to me very carefully, and I can't answer this for many people that are in the hospital, but I can tell you this. Only God in heaven knows how many people would become whole and become well. They're laying in a hospital bed, and they have ill will and unforgiveness in their life, and they've committed sin or they've done something and they've not owned up to it. If they on their beds in the hospital would own up to what they've done before God. You see, this body is not designed to hold sin. Yes, we're shaping in sin and sin did our mothers conceive us, but have you ever found what happens when you try to live with unconfessed sin? There is no joy. You can go do whatever you want. You can go on the most lavish vacation in the world and you will not enjoy yourself. Why? Because you know there's something inside of you that's not been dealt with. David knew he had had relations with Bathsheba, but he didn't come to God first. He waited and waited and waited and waited, and you can hear his heart cry. Because when he speaks in Psalm 51, you can just hear his heart before God. Have mercy on me, O God. And he says, blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Why would he say blot out and wash? Because David knew he was dirty. Have you ever said before a holy God, Lord God, I'm dirty. I'm filthy because of sins I've committed. Now, I know that doesn't sound user-friendly in our day and our time, but let me tell you, for those of you know, you work and you get real good and dirty and greasy and oily. Learning about a shower don't help you. Reading about a shower don't help you. The only thing that helps you is a good old-fashioned shower. I mean, you can read the latest on how to be clean with oil on you. You can probably find that on the internet. But the only way you can be clean is by taking that shower, that bath that you need. Listen, when you and I have sinned, God expects, I want you to listen. You're a Christian, you're a child of God, you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I want you to listen. God expects you to come clean. God expects you to confess. If you're a child of the living God, it is the expectation of your Heavenly Father for you to come clean. You say, well, won't He zap me? No. You'll feel like that. I know because I've been there. Got on my knees and said, Lord God, I know I shouldn't have said this. And you sort of cringe. You're sort of looking up and thinking, God, please don't zap me too hard. He's not going to zap you. You know what He's going to do? When you confess, own up to, you'll never know the love, the grace, that inner feeling from your Heavenly Father anymore like that day in your life. You see, the devil loves for you to believe God's going to zap you. That's why we don't confess. That's why we don't admit. That's why we don't own up to things. But listen, He's not going to treat you the way your sins deserve. He loves to show you. And here's what He does. How can God show you how much He loves you? It's in that moment in time when you don't deserve His loving forgiveness. You really bombed. And maybe your mom and dad struggle with forgiving you. But you have a Heavenly Father that will forgive you. You know the story of the prodigal son. He wasted his money on wine, on women, on song. He wasted his money on everything that he could. He came back to his dad and he realized that he could return to his dad. That's the picture of our Heavenly Father. You see, this prodigal, he came clean. He didn't say, Dad, come over and get me. He turned around and came to his father. God has such love for you. God has such a love for your life. He has only His best for you. And you know what happens so many times? We resist it. You know, we've done something or said something and think, well, you know, I'll confess if they'll confess. You know what happens? You know what a wise person will do? They'll own up to their sins. They'll be willing to say whatever needs to be said because they know that God loves them. You see, God's not in heaven out to get you. He's out to love you. He's out to forgive you. And that's what David found out. You know what David found out when he owned up to his sin? He went to God with everything. Now, he knew what he had done. He had helped assassinate Uriah. He had had sex with Bathsheba. He knew what he had done. He had been on the top of his castle, and, you know, he's the one that summoned Bathsheba. If God wasn't going to forgive him, you wouldn't find Psalms 51 in the Bible. It just wouldn't be there. You see, when we sin, God's out to show us His loving forgiveness. Now, there may be consequences, what you've done, that God won't remove. God told David, He said, I'll never remove the sword from your house. In other words, David had hurt his character, but he found the joy of God once again. You see, when we sin, and we come clean, there's no way but what God doesn't forgive us. You know, and you think about, you know, the fact that God loves to forgive and God loves to restore us. Not only does He do that, but number five, when we receive God's gracious forgiveness over our sin, He expects us to pass it on. Aren't you glad when you bow your head and you close your eyes and you go to the Father, say, Father, I've sinned against you. He doesn't say, stop. He doesn't say, Benny Bush. That's all of them. No more forgiveness after today. You know, there's a story in Scripture where one man was forgiven much, and then his neighbor owed him something, and he just He made life hell on earth for his neighbor because he just owed him a little bit. Let me ask you a question. Do you make life hell on earth for some other people because they've hurt you and you forgot who you put on the cross? You forgot that you are a party to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because he died for all your sin. You say, well, Jesus died on the cross. That was his business. Okay, you still want to be in your sins? You say, well, he chose to do it. I didn't. There's not a one of us in here, but don't thank God for his grace. Amen? Because you're not going to get, when you breathe your last breath, you're a child of God. He's not going to sentence you to an eternity of hell if you have Christ in your life. He's going to receive you to himself. And if he's forgiven you of your sins, you know what he gives you a directive? You're to pass it on to others. But you don't know what they've done to me. Stop and think what you did to Jesus. But you don't know how many times they've done it. You know what Jesus told Peter? Peter said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my neighbor? 7 times 70? Or 7 times? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. In other words, completely times completely. You know why? When you understand that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of everything, everything. Wow. But then you turn around to somebody else that hurts you and you say, you know what? I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to wash it clean. You say, well, that's easier said than done. Yes, sometimes it is. Forgiving somebody sometimes comes through tears. Forgiving somebody sometimes is not very easy because they've done something very hurtful and very harmful to your life. But you see, whenever you forgive, one of the things you're doing, you're being like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus Christ came into this world to forgive you. When you forgive somebody else, have you ever stopped to think about it? You are acting more like Jesus in that moment than any other time in your life. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Listen to the last words, has forgiven you. You mean Jesus has already forgiven me? Yes. He's already forgiven me of every sin I'll ever commit? Yes. You mean to tell me that the sins that I'll commit in 2012, if I live that long, Jesus hasn't come, he's already forgiven me? Absolutely. Enjoy his forgiveness and pass it on. Somebody hurts you, does you harm, does you dirty, and you pass it on. Father, I forgive them. I release them and I set them free. And I thank you for that forgiveness. You know what happens? Let me tell you what happens in your life. Listen very carefully. You look more and more and more and more like the Jesus that died for you. And when you walk off the scenes of time, people will look at your life, they'll listen to your life, and they'll know what type of person you are because you withheld forgiveness from no one. Because you knew that your sins had been forgiven and you wanted to be like Jesus. You're here this morning and you are lost. You're without Jesus. Friend, let me tell you the truth. I want you to listen if you're lost. Jesus has already died for your sins. You can accept his payment at the cross for your sins. Or you can reject that. Either way, you're going to die someday. Either way, you're going to leave this world someday. You either trust Jesus as the payment of for your sins, or you get to die in your sins and pay for your sins forever. His offers to you. He loves you. Forgiven you completely. Wants you to enjoy his forgiveness. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth about your forgiveness of our sins. Father, you've said in your word that you've washed them as far as the east is from the west. Praise your holy name. Father, that by no means gives us a right or a license to sin, but it's a reminder that we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us so very much, and you've done everything for us to enjoy this one given life and to enjoy it to its absolute maximum. I pray for that person that's lost. Lord, I pray that they would own up to the fact they're a sinner. They may not want to own up to it, but that's the facts. And if they reject Jesus Christ, they'll still die, but their death will be eternal. Father, I pray you draw them to you. In Jesus' name I pray.